The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. Grammar matters. And it's important to recognize that in what Jesus says, because it's often misquoted. Note what he doesn't say. He does not say, "Love one another however you will." And he does not say, "Love one another as I used to love you." He doesn't even say, "Love one another as I have loved you." Note that that's all past tense. He says, "Love one another as I love you." There's a now in that statement. That there is something happening now in our lives that the Lord is saying, love out of that. Act out of that. Not out of the memory of a relationship with me, but out of the now of that relationship. And to help us unpack this, I'm going to wander to the back where the good Catholics are found. And you look like a very good Catholic, my young friend. So I'm going to ask for your help, okay? Come with me. We're going to go to the front. Just climb right up here onto the second step. Turn around so everybody can see you. What's your name?
Juliet.
Juliet? Don't worry, they only look scary. Okay? Juliet, how did you get here today?
By the car.
By the car? Did you drive the car?
No.
No? Who drove?
My parents.
Your parents drove. So somebody brought you here today with them. Good. They brought you, your mom and dad brought you someplace else a while ago. How old are you?
Six.
You're six? Okay. What do you remember about what happened 6 years ago? Not much? That's okay. I have trouble remembering what happened 6 minutes ago. But 6 years ago, maybe also involving the car, your mom and dad brought you to a church. Not this church, but they brought you to a church. And when they brought you to the church 6 years ago, they were holding you in their arms, and there were other people from your family and friends of your mom and dad there. And a guy dressed like me, but probably a much holier man, met your mom and dad and you at the doors of the church. And he had all kinds of questions. And the first question he had was, what name have you given to your daughter? And that name is Juliet, right? And then he said, what do you ask of God's church for Juliet? And we're going to pause on that for a minute, because this is important. You just wait right there, okay? Now, do your mom and dad want good things for you? Yeah? Do your mom and dad just want any old good thing for you, or do you think they want the very best for you? You're not so sure. Well, I'm going to presume to think for your mom and dad, okay? And I am going to presume that what your mom and dad want is the absolute best for you. Linger with that for a moment. For your families, what do you want? For your life, what do you want? For those entrusted to your care, what do you want? Do you want just anything, or do you want the best? We don't talk about that much, but that question of what are you asking of God's church for your child is the question that touches the heart and says, what do I really want for this young one? What do I really want? And because your mom and dad wanted the best, they said, not in these exact words, we want you to get her wet. They said, we want baptism for her. Because the very best begins right there. And after they said they want baptism for you, and they want you to belong to the church, something happened. That guy who was asking all those questions came to you, and he didn't ask you a question. He took his hand, and he put it on your little forehead. It was a little smaller 6 years ago. And he made a sign of the cross there. And when he did that, when he put that cross on your forehead, something already began to happen to you. You already began to belong to Jesus at that point. That little ritual at the beginning of the rite of baptism, where the child is touched by the church with the sign of faith, marks the beginning of that young life belonging to Christ. When adults are coming into the church at the beginning of the catechumenate, they're received the same way, by the marking of the cross on the forehead. And in receiving the mark, the sign of faith, one already begins to belong. The goodness of Christ begins to lay claim. But then he looked at your mom and dad, and he told them to do something. And this is important too. Then the priest or the deacon who celebrated that baptism turned to the parents, and he said, and you do likewise. Which means your mom and dad then touched you on your forehead, and they marked you with the sign of the cross too. And again, if we linger with that very simple, largely overlooked moment, those of you who've raised children, can you even count the number of times you've touched them, especially after the first week? It's too many. And if we think about how we interact with one another, the different ways we touch one another, we touch with our example, we touch with our words, we touch physically. Sometimes touch hurts, sometimes it heals. And at that moment, what the church was saying to your mom and dad was, it's important that you touch Juliet with your faith. However else you touch her, it is important that you touch her with your faith. Because if what you really want is the best, then the only way she's going to grow into the best is if we touch with the best of ourselves, with our faith. Note how marvelous that is. Before you got baptized, all of that happened. And then, come with me. Don't worry, I'm not going to get you wet. But come right up here. But then they did bring you to a bowl of water. And there were prayers that were prayed over the water to make it holy. And then your mom and dad were asked if they were serious about wanting the best for you. And so the priest asked them, do you really want Juliet to be baptized? And they said, yes. So they held you over the bowl, and the guy that was dressed like me reached in and took water and poured it on your head. If it was me, you'd have been really wet. And then he put his hand in the water again, and he poured it on your head a second time, and you'd be really wet. And then he reached in again, once for the Father, once for the Son, once for the Holy Spirit. He took the water again, and now I'll get you a little wet. And he poured it on your head. And when that happened, besides getting wet, some other things happened too. Now, I wasn't there 6 years ago, and you don't seem to remember. Maybe you cried, maybe you laughed, but while all of that was going on, as that water was coming down on your head, and you felt it, and everybody could see it, and you could even hear the sound of it as the priest took it out of the basin, as all of that was going on, something else happened. As the water came down on your head, the Holy Spirit came down too. And he didn't get you wet. He came inside of you. And when he came inside of you, he gave you a gift. Do you know what it was? You're not sure. All these years later, you're finally finding out what the secret is. He gave you a sharing in the life of Jesus. He put the life of Jesus right inside your heart so that Jesus could live with you and Jesus could help you live. Why? Because your mom and dad asked for the best, and that's exactly what you were given. Now, they're sending you to school, and they're bringing you to a place like this, so that you can grow into that best that the Holy Spirit put in you 6 years ago. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You know what goes really well with coming to the shrine and helping a crazy priest give a homily? Ice cream. So take this. We take it to the service window for the snack bar. They will take care of her. Go back to mom and dad. Love one another as I love you. What we just walked through with what happens in the sacrament of baptism is what the Lord is driving at. In order to love rightly, as St. John observes in his letter, love doesn't consist in that we love God. It consists in the fact that he loves us first. And to love rightly means first allowing ourselves to be rightly loved. And that is done by God. It is the heart that opens itself to receive and allow itself to be loved by God that is the heart that is capable then of allowing that love to assert itself, to express itself in us and through us. And so note what the Lord says. My commandment is not love God and love your neighbor. It is love as I am, in fact, right now, loving you. Note that the Lord there is not asking simply that we reminisce. He's speaking about the fact that something continual is taking place in our lives. That this presence of his life that is in us from the moment of our baptism is constant. And the love with which he has given his life for us and to us is constantly at work within us. And so the Lord is telling his church, first learn how to receive that. First learn how to pay attention to that. And as you do, begin to move and to speak and to think and to act out of that reality that you've learned to respond to and pay attention to. Love as I love you. What a powerful statement that is, especially when we recognize that aspect of the now. Now I am doing something. And I'm going to go back to Juliet for a second, because mom and dad still want the best for you. And so that means probably in a year or two, something else is going to happen. In a year or two, Juliet, you'll be in a church like this. You'll probably be all dressed up in white. And the white dress that you'll be wearing is the reminder of the new life you got on that day that you got wet in church. And the white that you'll be wearing that day, that new life from baptism, is going to bring you to the front of the church. And again, another guy dressed like me is going to give you Holy Communion for the first time. Because your mom and dad and the church want the best for you. And note how that's the continuation of mom and dad touching you with their faith. It's the continuation of the church touching you with its faith. It is a very real continuation and response to what Jesus said, love as I love you. And so again, consider what happens here then in just a few minutes. In just a few minutes, on this altar, that same Jesus Christ who said that to those apostles at the night of the Last Supper, the first Mass, the night of the Last Supper, Jesus, as he's giving the sacrament of his body and blood, as he's about to die for our salvation the next day, says to his church, love one another as I love you right now. And in just a few minutes, here in this room of the supper where Mass is celebrated, he'll be here. And his presence on the altar says the same thing. And so note how marvelous it is what we do at that part of the Mass. The Lord comes down off the altar in the hands of his ministers. Today it's myself and brother. And he waits for you. And we get up and we come forward. We'll open our mouths or we'll stretch out our hands, but we are looking to receive, not something, but someone. Because love involves a person giving himself or herself and being received. And so it is then that the Lord gives himself to us. And as we receive him, we receive that fullness of love with which he loves us. So when you hear those words, the body of Christ, listen deeper. Now, as you go back to your bench, as you go back to your chair, and you settle down for a moment, listen through that experience to hear again as the Lord is giving himself to you, love one another as I am loving you right now. That is a very good act of thanksgiving after Holy Communion. And you know what comes a little while after that, Juliet? I'm going to say something really important to everybody. I'm going to say go. I'm going to say go. Mass is over. Go. And it's not because I'm kicking you out, because I like having you here. That go at the end of Mass is the instruction to actually be about what Jesus said. Love one another as I love you. Go and do that. Go and be that. Go and live that. What a marvelous, marvelous reality it is. And note how it begins at that moment that we are first touched by the mark of his cross, the sign of faith, which is also the sign of just how deep his love for us and for the world really is. Love one another as I love you. Amen.